The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Viewers of Madani Channel, welcome to this series of programs, Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And in these series of programs, we delve into the rich heritage that we have as Muslims. And the more I think about this, the more I realize that as Muslims, we're not aware of our rich heritage. We don't look, are we not aware of the people of the past, of the role models that we have been given, you know, our pious predecessors that have passed before us. And if we go further back, we look at the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the role models that they were, the fact that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they are like my stars, follow them and you will never go astray. And then you've got the Ahlul Bayt, and then you've got, obviously, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But unfortunately, we know very little about the lives of our pious predecessors. And if we don't know anything about their lives, we can't take anything from their lives. We can't learn anything to take forward. And so the aim of this program is that we look at our pious predecessors, we look at their lives, we take something from their lives, so that we can make a change today and have a better tomorrow. Let's take something from yesterday, make a change today, and have a better tomorrow. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We're going to begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that when Thursday arrives, Allah azza wa jal sends forth angels who have silver scrolls and golden pens. They write down whoever sends salat upon me in abundance on Thursday and Friday night. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You know, when you read about the blessings of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you come to realize that how easy it is, you know, to get them blessings. It's not hard reciting Durood-e Pak. It's not as if you're having to carry 30 kilos, 40 kilos, 50 kilos, or, you know, make a wall or knock down a wall or climb up a wall or climb up a tree or anything difficult. You're not having to do anything difficult. You know, we use our tongues all day long. I'm speaking to you now. And in the time that we've been on the program now, maybe 2 or 3 minutes, we could have recited Durood-e Pak maybe 50 times, 100 times. So it's how we utilize our time. And we also realize the reward is so great as well. That, you know, nowadays to, you know, get your name mentioned, you know, in a gathering where there's an influential person, to have someone where there's a politician or a wealthy person and have your name mentioned there. You know, people have this thing about having their name mentioned on the TV. Oh, my name was mentioned on TV. My name was mentioned on the radio. And they're so proud of themselves that their name was mentioned on TV or the name was mentioned on a radio station. Allahu Akbar. But your name and your father's name is mentioned in the court of all courts. Allahu Akbar. The blessed court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all you have to do is to recite Durood-e Pak upon him. Make it part of your daily routine, and insha'Allah azalil, you'll see the change. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, today we're going to talk about Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala. One of the greatest saints that has passed before us. And what I want to mention today is I want to mention some aspects of his life. But when mentioning them aspects, I want to us to think and realize what we can take from their lives. You know, whenever you hear of a story of one of our pious predecessors, a story of the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a story of the Ahlul Bayt or the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, them stories have been passed down, them parables have been passed down from generation to generation. In some cases, in the case of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 1400 years they have passed down from generation to generation. When you hear them stories and them parables, ask yourself why. Why has this story been passed down from generation to generation? Is it so that we can write a good book and have nice stories and tell our children stories and think, wow, that was interesting, that was great, really nice story? These parables, these stories, have not been passed down for our entertainment. They've been passed down from generation to generation so that we can learn something from their lives, take a blessing from their lives, be encouraged to make a change in our lives. Get something. That's the whole idea. And today we're going to share with you some aspects of the life of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah. I'm going to begin with an incident that took place. And it's narrated that Hafiz Abul Abbas Ahmad Rahmatullah states, he said that I once accompanied Allama Abdul Rahman bin Al-Jawzi Rahmatullah to the gathering of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah, in the which a qari, he recited some of the Holy Quran. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah then presented us with the tafsir for one of the verses that was recited. And he said, I was sat next to Allama Ibn Al-Jawzi Rahmatullah, and I asked him, are you aware of that tafsir that Ghawsi Pak just mentioned? And he said, yes, I'm aware of it. Then Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah gave a second tafsir of the same verse. So again, I asked Allama Ibn Al-Jawzi Rahmatullah, are you aware of what Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah, the tafsir that he's mentioned, are you aware of that? And he said, yes. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah then gave a third. So again, I asked, are you aware? And again, he replied, yes, I am aware of this. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah then went on to give a fourth, fifth, and sixth, right up to 10 different tafsirs of that one verse. He said that after each commentary, I asked Allama Ibn Al-Jawzi Rahmatullah that, was he aware of the commentary? And he replied positively in every time. When Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah got the 11th tafsir of the verse, again asked him, and he gave the same response. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani proceeded to give 12th explanation of the verse. So I asked him whether he was aware. This time he shook his head. And he said, no, I'm not aware of this commentary of the verse. Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah continued to give further tafsirs of that verse until he had mentioned 30 different commentaries. After the 11th interpretation, after the 11th tafsir, the response of Allama Ibn Jawzi Rahmatullah was the same, that I am not aware of this commentary. This explanation is not within my knowledge. After giving 30 commentaries, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah continued until he'd given 40 tafsirs of the verse in that one gathering, as well as mentioning each tafsir. And after the 11th tafsir, Allama Ibn Al-Jawzi continued to give the same reply, that he was unaware of the explanation that was mentioned. My dear Islam brothers and viewers up on the channel, what do we gain from this? First and foremost, we see that Ghawsi Pak had a great understanding of the Quran. He read the Quran. He tried and understood the Quran. He read the tafsirs of the Quran. How many of us have done that? You know, here in the UK, I remember 20 years ago, within Dawud Islam, we used to say to each other, oh, there's no books in English. We used to complain that there's no literature available in English. How can we read these books? Alhamdulillah, today, thousands maybe of books. How many of us have read the books? So I look back at that time and think to myself that that time was maybe, you know, a time of excuses. We make excuses that, oh, if we had the books, we'd read them. But, you know, because we haven't got the books, what can we do? You know, we're struggling, and these people that can understand Urdu, they've got it great. You know, and we're going to have to wait for the translation to come. Now, Allahu Akbar, so many books are available, so many articles are available, the Manama magazine is available, the booklets are available, the books are available, they're all available. How many of us have read them? You know, Maktabat al-Madina, contact our Maktabat al-Madina here, buy the books. The same is with the Quran. With the Quran, I remember for many, many years, up until very recently, you know, we wanted to read the translation of the Quran. We wanted to read the tafsir of the Quran in English. But we'd always be told, no, be careful of that tafsir, be careful of that translation, don't read this one, don't read that one. And we were always like scared, you know, because we weren't sure what to and what not to read. And alhamdulillah, the translations come out, the clear criterions come out, and the other tafsirs have come out, they're available in English. But again, I think it's probably fair to say that the people that are watching here, I'm talking to the people in the UK mainly here today. Of all the people in the UK, I think that maybe those people that are attached to the environment of Dawud Islami, maybe 80% of them, yeah, I'd say, I'm willing to say that the 80% of the people that are attached to Dawud Islami maybe have got a copy of the Quran, the clear criterion in their homes. The translation of Kanzul Iman in the language of English has been published by Dawes Claiming, and many people, I believe, I'm only guessing here, that 80% of the people that are attached to Dawes Claiming have a copy of it in their house. But now, if I was to ask this, how many of them, 80%, have actually read it? How many of us have actually read the Quran, the translation, and tried to understand it? We've now got tafsirs. How many of us have actually read these translations? Will we actually read the Quran? Will we actually try and digest the knowledge in that? And will we try to achieve something? Again, in many cases, I feel that that's not the case. Yes, there are people out there. I know of a certain individual, mashallah, he was a senior zimadar of Dawes Claiming. He then kind of like retired because of illness and age. And since his semi-retirement, if you wish to call it, the last time I spoke to him, he said that he had read Tafsir Siratul Jinan, I think 14 or 15 times completely, you know, from cover to cover, 10 volumes, he'd read it 15 times. So there are people out there that alhamdulillah have, but what about us? How many of us have actually read the Quran? How many of us actually, on a daily basis, read the Quran? How many of us, you know, read the Quran? I know there's one person, quite a highly professional person, and he said to me that he never leaves home without reading at least a few verses of the Quran. I remember he said to me once that he left home and he got to the bottom of his road and he realized that he'd not read the Quran that morning. So what did he do? Did he say, okay, never mind, tomorrow. Stop the car, put the brake on, turn around, went back home, read the verses of the Quran. Until he read the verses of the Quran, it just wasn't normal for him. Is that what the Quran is like in our house? That unless the month of Ramadan comes, and even then in some houses, unless someone passes away, unless there's a khatam, is that our only connection with the Quran? And we see that these people, you know, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah, is stated that for 15 years, he would recite the entire Quran, in one night, every night for 15 years. How many times have we read the complete Quran? Is it our routine to read the Quran? The Quran is our answer to all of our problems. And I mentioned it many times before, but how many of us have that attachment to the Quran? As I'm talking to you, you're probably thinking to yourself, where is the Quran in our house? Is it in that room? Is it in that room? Yeah, I think it's in that room. Maybe, yeah. Is that what the Quran is in our house? Ask yourself. And then we wonder why, as Muslims, we are facing difficulties. Where is the Quran? How often do we read the Quran? How often do we try to read, to try understand what our Creator wants from us? That book was revealed to mankind via the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam over a period of 23 years. The word of Allah was revealed to us. What we need to, what we don't need to, what Allah azza wa jal wants from us. It's all in that Quran, and we just ignore it. It is our loss. Nobody else's loss. It is our loss that we don't have the attachment to the Quran. And when you read about the life of the pious predecessors, every single movie, we just mentioned Ghawsay Pak today. But when you read about the life of our pious predecessors, every single one of them, they had this attachment to the Quran. They had a great attachment to the Quran. That was part of the daily routine. And if you read that, how many times they read the Quran, how often they complete the Quran. And nowadays we think, well, that's then, isn't it? That's then, isn't it? You know, these people 1,000 years ago, yeah, okay, they read the Quran. I'll tell you something. Let me work it out. Maybe 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, there was a person that used to come to our weekly ishtimas. And he said to me that his father used to read the whole Quran in one week. Every week he would read the whole Quran. 7 days, one Quran. Next 7 days, another Quran. Next 7 days, another Quran. And I was like, wow, subhanallah. And he said, yeah, my father's had this routine for as long as I can remember. And then, you know, he didn't come to the ishtima. We lost contact. And I think what had happened was he was working away somewhere. And then I remember he came back and I met him maybe 5 or 6 years later. And I said to him that, you know, do your father still read the Quran? And he said, no. I said, why? He said, my father's passed away. And so I passed on my condolences. And he said to me that my father passed away reading the Quran. He was reading the Quran and he passed away. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of Mind Channel, you're watching Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. We're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to one of the packages of the day, inshallah. When we come back, we'll try and learn something else from the great life of Ghawse Pak Rahmatullah Talib. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our merciful Lord, blesses us day and night with so many bounties, so many gifts, that if we were to truly sit down and enumerate those blessings, we will never be able to do so. There are so many, limitless. But what is required of us is to show gratitude for those blessings. Praise Allah for His blessings. And the Quran also instructs that at times we should also reveal how Allah ta'ala has blessed us. This is called tahdithun ni'mah. Speak about the ni'mah. Not to show off, not to show that you're superior to anyone, but to show that Allah ta'ala has blessed you, otherwise you would not have been able to acquire such a blessing if it wasn't for Allah gifting you. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. The Quran says, as for the ni'mah, the blessing of your Lord, then reveal it, mention it, proclaim it, speak about it. Remember, when we speak about it, we attribute all goodness to Allah, all blessings to Allah. We don't say, oh, it's because of me, because of my hard work. This would make us fall into ujub, vanity, self-conceit. And this is a disease of the heart. So when revealing the blessings of Allah, the intention should be sincere and pure. Now, revealing it to show that this is no kamal or perfection of mine. All praise and perfection belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how blessings increase. Then this will lead to the preservation of those blessings and the increase of those blessings as well. May Allah ta'ala make us amongst those who are grateful to Him at all times, in difficulty and in ease. Yes, we have times in our life where we feel ease, we feel everything is going the way we want, everything is going smoothly, then all of a sudden we face trials, calamities, afflictions, tribulations in our lives. They are also times to remember Allah, to praise Allah. You remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in times of goodness, in times of blessings, Allah ta'ala will help you in times of difficulty. And in both states, we have to praise Allah. We have to refrain from complaining regarding our Lord. This is what shaitan is teaching people. This is what shaitan is whispering into the hearts and minds of people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to preserve our blessings and to show shukr for them.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Mind Channel, you're watching Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And as we said at the start of this program, in this series of program, we look into our rich heritage, we look at our past, previous, pious predecessors and try and learn something from their life. And today we're looking at the life of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah ta'ala, a great person of our past, one of the greatest saints of all time, alhamdulillah. And before the break, we mentioned his love of the Quran, his attachment of the Quran, and also what is our attachment as well. He narrated an event that took place. You've heard this maybe many, many times before. He said that when I was young, he said, I went into the fields to chase the cows. And as I was chasing a cow stopped and turned around and spoke to me and said, oh, Abdul Qadir, you were not created for this. An animal spoke to him. And he was shocked, obviously, that an animal spoke to him, and he ran home. And in the same way that we have the flat roofs in the Indian subcontinent, in Jilan, where he lived, they had the flat roofs. And he ran up to the top of his house. And it was the day of Arafat. The people that were performing the Hajj, they were on the plains of Arafat on that day. And from Jilan, he could see with his own eye. The people that were performing the Hajj, they were on the plains of Arafat on that day. Another miracle happened. He came downstairs to his mother. His mother consoled him. And his mother realized that the time was right for his son to leave and go in search of knowledge. So she sold these 40 gold coins inside his jacket. And you've probably heard the story. And she gave her son some advice. She said, "My son, no matter what happens in your life, never ever tell a lie." The story continues and we'll mention that. But just want to pause here for a moment. The role of the mother. The key figure of the mother. The mother is the person that builds nations. The mother is the person that creates these leaders. The tarbiyah that the mother gives is so important. And yet, we don't give that importance to the role of the mother. We think the role of the mother is to cook, clean, wash, clothe, look after them, get them ready for school, get them out of bed in the morning, get them out of the house, yeah, get them to the school, pick and drop. These are the jobs that we think are the role. But that is just the start. That is not even 5% of the role of the mother. The tarbiyah that the mother gives. And that one example where her mother said to him that no matter what happens, always speak the truth. And so we see that that had an impact on his life. He learned from that lesson. But nowadays, what are we doing? What lessons do we teach our children? I remember many years ago reading that children are like pieces of paper. That whatever you write to them, right on the pieces of paper, that's what they'll become. Children are like stones. Whatever you engrave in that stone at a young age, it's there for the rest of their lives. What tarbiyah do we give to our children? What upbringing do we give to our children? You're not talking about telling the truth. You know, unfortunately what happens nowadays, we teach our children, not the truth, we teach our children to lie. Unfortunately, we teach our children to lie. Nowadays, you know, this device that we've got in our houses, someone will ring up and say, and you, "Oh yeah, I'm at work." You're not at work. You're not at work. And so what happens is, you know, your children are watching. You know, certain people, they'll say to the children that you get a knock on the door and go to the front door and they say, "Oh, tell them that your dad's not in." You're teaching your child to lie. And many, many instances in front of you, when you lie, your children are watching and they're thinking, "He's lying here. The mother's lying, the father's lying." On these phones, on people that come to the door, when outside, when they're, you know, in people, and then someone says, "Oh, have you been to this place?" "Oh, yeah, I've been here many times." Your children are going, "Never been here before. Never had this before." But you know, as parents, as elders, we don't want to feel inferior that, "Oh, we've never had that, we've never seen that, we've never..." So we lie. So then we are teaching our children that don't feel inferior. Yeah, if someone said to you, "Have you been to, I don't know, the bay?" Yeah? Then lie and say, "Yes, you've been to the..." You don't want to feel inferior that you've not been to these places around the world. You don't want to feel inferior that you've not done this, you've not done that experience. So lie and tell people, yeah, you've been, it was really good, yeah. What was the hotel was brilliant, yeah. And your children are watching thinking, "Nah, that's never happened." So you're teaching your children to lie. To lie to get out of problems, to lie to not feel inferior, to lie to show off. This is what we're teaching our children. But this is not what the mother of Ghawse Pak taught. The mother of Ghawse Pak said to her child that, "No matter what happens, my son, always, always, always speak the truth." And if you look at many of our pious predecessors, the tarbiyah that they were given by their mothers is crucial to the upbringing. In many instances, the fathers were away. They were traveling in the path of Allah. They were fighting in the path of Allah. And the mothers were there to give them that tarbiyah, give them that upbringing, give them that. Where are we today? And unfortunately, we negate the role of the mother. And the problem is that, unfortunately, our mothers, our sisters don't have that knowledge. The first university of a child is the lap of the mother. You know, if you ever go to school, you go to college, you go to university, and your lecturer doesn't know anything. You know, you go to university, you're on a degree course, and the lecturer says, "Well, I don't know why we're here." "Does anybody know?" "I don't know." You think, "Well, what kind of lecturer is this person?" It's the same with our sisters. If they don't have that knowledge to pass on to the children, what we're going to give to our children? And this is just one instance. One instance about educating our children about telling the truth, always speaking the truth, never lying. Just think about the other tarbiyah, all the other tarbiyah that the mother gave to Ghawse Pak. So that is one lesson that we need to learn from the life of Ghawse Pak, his mother. The tarbiyah that he was given. Here's the mother channel. We're going to take a small break and then we'll continue with that actual story that happened. But we've got a kalam of the day now. Inshallah, after the break, we'll continue with the lessons that we can learn from the life of Ghawse Pak. Let's go to the kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasulallah. Ya Habib Allah, Ya Rasul Allah. Wo jo chahe chand ko tod de, unhe ikhtiyar diya gaya. Unhe ikhtiyar diya gaya. Wo jo chahe chand ko tod de, wo jo chahe chand ko. उसके टुकड़ों को जोड़ दे, उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया, उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया, वो जो चाहे चांद को तोड़ दे, जो अली की असर सजा हुई, तो वो वक्त पर ही अदा हुई, जो अली असर कज़ा हुई, जो अली की असर कज़ा हुई, तो वो वक्त पर ही अदा हुई, तो वो वक्त पर ही अदा हुई, छुपे आफताब को मोड़ दे, छुपे आफताब को मोड़ दे, उन्हें चांद को तोड़ दे, उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया, वो फिर उसके शुक्रों को जोड़ दे, उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया, वो जो चाहे चांद को तोड़ दे, रुख नार उनके गुलाम को लिए जा रहे वो मलाइका, नार उनके गुलाम को लिए जा रहे वो मलाइका, रुख नार उनके गुलाम को लिए जा रहे वो मलाइका, लिए जा रहे वो मलाइका, वो पकड़ के खुल्द को मोड़ दे, वो पकड़ के खुल्द को मोड़ दे, उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया, उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया, वो जो चाहे चांद को तोड़ दे, उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया, वो फिर उसके शुक्रों को जोड़ दे, उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया, वो जो चाहे चांद को तोड़ दे, वो नबी की मूर्ति का मौजज़ा, के व मारो मैं तक गए खुदा, वो नबी की मूर्ति का मौजज़ा, वो नबी की मूर्ति का मौजज़ा, के व मारो मैं तक गए खुदा, के व मारो मैं तक गए खुदा, वो निगाह कुफर की फोड़ दे, वो निगाह कुफर की फोड़ दे, उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया, उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया, वो जो चाहे चांद को तोड़ दे, उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया, वो फिर उसके शुक्रों को जोड़ दे, उन्हें इख्तियार दिया गया, वो जो चाहे चांद को तोड़ दे, लिखो नाज़िशुन का ये बात کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی. لکھو داز شن کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی, کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی. لکھو داز شن کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی, کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی. وہ لعاب پاک سے جوڑ دیں, وہ لعاب پاک سے جوڑ دیں. انہیں اختیار دیا گیا, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا. وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا. وہ پھر اس کے شکلوں کو جوڑ دیں, انہیں اختیار دیا گیا. وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Viewers, I'm Madani Channel. You're watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And today we're talking about the lessons that we can learn from the life of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah, namely Ghusay Pak. And I mentioned the fact that his mother told him never ever to tell a lie. And the story continues that he then went and joined a caravan, because that's what used to happen at that time, that people, safety was in numbers. People used to travel together, so he joined a caravan, but unfortunately this caravan was attacked by some robbers. And these robbers, when they started to take all of the goods off the people, they asked the young Sheikh Abdul Qadir that Rahmatullah, do you have anything? He said, yes, I've got 40 gold dinars. After a couple of times, they thought he was like trying to fool with them or trying to joke with them, so they got a little bit angry and they took him to the chief of the robbers. When they took him to the chief of the robbers, the chief of the robbers asked him, "That where is this money then? If you say you've got it, where is it?" So he unpicked the jacket. And the chief of the robbers was shocked. And he said that, you know, why did you tell us the truth? Why did you not just lie? Why did you not just keep quiet? Why? You know, we couldn't find it. And he said that, my mother made me promise never, ever to tell a lie and always speak the truth. These words had a profound effect on the chief of the robbers. Not only the chief of the robbers, but all of them. A profound effect on them. And the chief of the robbers thought to himself that this person has not broken the covenant, the promise that he has made to his mother. And yet every day we are making the covenants, that breaking the covenants of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and we are disobeying Allah every single day of our life. And they repented. Not only did they repent, but all of them give all of the goods back to all of the people that they'd stolen from in that caravan. What do we gain from this? Again, a story you've heard many, many times. We gain from this that when a pious person speaks, it has a profound effect on you. I could say to you, don't lie. How many times have I said it on Mother Channel? Don't lie. Read your namaz. How many people listen? Yes, I hope and pray that some people do listen. I hope and pray for that. But when a pious person speaks, that piety speaks, that taqwa speaks, that truth that speaks, that God-fearing person speaks, when he speaks, it makes a change in people's lives. And so where Ghusay Pak said that my mother promised me never ever to tell a lie, that's why I spoke the truth, it had this profound effect on them. So we learn from this what? That we should sit in the company of pious people. When we sit in the company of pious people, their words can have a profound effect on ourselves. They can change our hearts. They can make us think differently, make us act differently. When a pious person says to you, read your salah, maybe I could say it to you 100 times, you won't listen to me. When a pious person says to you once, you maybe listen to them. And in today's day of age, we have the, you know, blessed opportunity that every Saturday night, as a minimum, we get the opportunity to listen to the words of a wali of our time. Of a wali of our time. Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of the Islamic, every Saturday night, he instructs us, he guides us, he gives the answers to questions. He's there every Saturday night. We should make sure that we sit and listen to these people. Yes, I know we can't go and travel to Karachi on a daily basis, but alhamdulillah, modern technology allows us to sit in our homes and acquire the knowledge of the deen. How fortunate are we that we can sit at home every Saturday night for a couple of hours, the comfort of our homes, listening to the words of a pious person. And we've seen it with the minister. People have come to his court, they've never read the namaz in their life. He said to them, Beta, read your namaz. They start reading the namaz. Beta, start growing a beard according to that. They grow the beard. Beta, repent from this. They repent from that. We learn from this that we should sit in the company of pious people. Sit with people that are pious. Unfortunately, what are we doing? Who are the people that we associate with? Who are our friends? Who are our colleagues? Where do we sit? What gatherings do we have? Do we take time out to go and sit with the people that are pious to learn from their lives? Unfortunately, we don't. And again, this is a lesson that we can learn from the life of Ghawsay Pak, that when he spoke, he had this effect on people. Why? Why? Because of his piety. Why? Because of his taqwa. Why? Because he was a wali of his time. Why? Because he was such a pious person. So sit with the pious people if you want to change. Spend time with the pious people if you want to change. If you want to change for the better, do you think that you can sit with sinners and become better? You sit with the pious people, you learn of them. And you know, when you sit with a scholar, I've seen many times I've felt this. When you sit with a scholar, you sit with them and after 10 minutes you're thinking, I know nothing. I don't know anything. I'm sitting with these scholars, the knowledge that they have, Allahu Akbar, I know nothing. But we should sit with these people. So please make it a habit of sitting with pious people. Make it a habit of sitting with knowledge people. This will reward you. You will benefit from it. Look at the company that you keep and see what effect it has you. They're going to go to the final package of the day, inshallah. And when we come back, we're going to take another lesson from the life of Ghawsay Pak. Let's go to this final package, inshallah. When we come back, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sayyidatina Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha used to sit in her hujra, that is a small room, prior to sunset, and would ask her maid to stand outside. As the sun begins to set, the maid would inform her about it, and Sayyidatina Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha would raise her blessed hands for supplication. Dear viewers of my channel, it is better to ask a concise supplication at that moment. For instance, the following Quranic supplication: رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Translation of Quran, Kanzul Iman. O Rabb, give us good in this world and good in the hereafter and save us from the torment of fire. One can recite Salat al-Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam as well with the intention of supplication, as Salat al-Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam itself is a magnificent supplication. It is preferable to supplicate between both sermons by heart, without raising hands, and without uttering anything verbally. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're watching the program yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And in this program today, we've been talking about the life of Ghawsay Pak and the lessons that we can learn from his life. Before the break, we were relating the incident where the robbers attacked him, and the words that he spoke had a profound effect on them when he explained to them that his mother had told him never ever to tell a lie. The caravan then continued. He then went to Baghdad, and he went there in search of knowledge. But one thing I forgot to mention, that was when he left his home to search for knowledge, his mother said to him that, my son, go in the path of Allah. Go and acquire the knowledge of the deen. You know, mothers like that, sending the children to acquire the knowledge of the deen. Nowadays, we find it hard to send our children to go ourselves in a madri kafla for 3 days. Nowadays, we find it even hard to sit down and watch a madri mazakir for a couple of hours. We find it hard to go and attend the weekly ishtama, even for a couple of hours. We find it so hard to go to the masjid to read our salah. And yet, you know, the people of the past, the sacrifices that they made to acquire the knowledge of the deen. And I think to myself that these people of the past, the likes of Ghawsay Pak, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, the likes of Sayyidina Ala Hazrat, the likes of all of these people of the past, going back to the companions and the Prophet of Allah, it was not for the sacrifices that were made by our pious predecessors, I would not be sat here today. That's a fact. I would not be here today if it was not for the sacrifices that were made by our pious predecessors. The sacrifices that they made so that the deen of Islam could come to me. The sacrifices that they made so that the deen of Islam could come to you. If it was not for them sacrifices, we would not be here today. And I've mentioned this many, many times before. The people that are watching this program today, except for the Sayyids that are watching this program, and maybe a few others, if you go back in your family history, go back to your ancestors 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, you will find someone in your family that was a non-Muslim. I think about that. And I think to myself that I don't know when it happened. I don't know who it was. I didn't know when, where, or who. I don't know anything. But I know for a fact that it happened. And I think about that. If I knew who that person was, I would go and read Fatiha at his grave. If I knew what day he passed away, I would do his birth every single year. If I do, I would celebrate that day. The day that my ancestors came to Islam. But I don't know it. But I still think about that day. And I also think to myself that that person that invited my ancestors to Islam, if they did not, where would I be today? Sacrifices were made, not just by our pious predecessors, but by people like me, like you, that spread the deen of Islam to the masses so that people today can accept Islam. And this is what Dawah Islam is. That I must strive to rectify myself and rectify the people of the whole world, spreading the message of Islam to people, spreading the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah to the people. But nowadays we find it hard. We find it hard to travel in the way of Allah. We find it hard to acquire the knowledge of the deen. Ghawse Pak, his mother sent him. He then comes to Baghdad. When he arrives in Baghdad, that 40 gold dinars that he had, how long is that going to last? How long did it last? It disappeared. Nowadays, when our children go to university, we send them with some money or a credit card or a debit card or something like that, and that finishes. There's no money left. What do? On the phone. Dad, can you send me some more money? Dad, I've run out of money. And if the father says, no, I've got no money, then more than likely the son will come back. Because you think, well, you know, I'm at home, I've got a nice house here, food, clean clothes, everything. What do I need to worry about? Have you ever thought, when you've heard the story of Ghawse Pak being in Baghdad, why did he not come back? Why did he not get a job? Why did he struggle and strive? Why? He said that he lived on rainwater, he lived on grass, on leaves, he ate these things just to survive. Why? Why did he do this? Why did he not go back? Why did he not just get a job? I'll tell you why. Because he understood the importance of knowledge. He knew that knowledge was a cure for sick souls. He knew that this knowledge was so important that no matter what happened, he was going to struggle, he was going to strive, he was going to suffer, he was going to take all sorts of problems. Why? For the sake of the knowledge of the deen. And nowadays, what struggles do we have to take? I've got an iPad in front of me, PC tablet. I've got hundreds of books on it. Hundreds of books here. Easy for me to acquire the knowledge of the deen. But how many of us try our best to acquire the knowledge of the deen? You know, I enjoy coming on Madani Channel for the purpose that I get the opportunity to acquire the knowledge. I get the opportunity to read those hadiths, read these parables, read these ayahs of the Quran, so I can learn something. And that, you know, it benefits me. Alhamdulillah, I feel I get benefit from it. How many of us take the opportunity to acquire the knowledge of the deen? You know, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the person who leaves his home to gain Islamic knowledge is in the way of Allah until he returns. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The one who learns one or two or four or three or four or five kalimat, i.e. words about the faraid obligatory acts of Allah, and memorizes them properly, and then teaches them to people, what will his reward be? The one who learns one or two or three or four or five kalimat, i.e. words about the faraid obligatory acts of Allah, memorizes them properly, and then teaches them to the people, what do you think his reward will be? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that that person will enter paradise. Isn't that the goal of every Muslim? Isn't that the goal of every Muslim to enter paradise? Allahu. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us how to do it. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah azza wa jal will resurrect bondmen on the day of judgment. He then will separate the Islamic scholars and say to them, all the group of Islamic scholars, I know you, that's why I bestowed knowledge upon you. And I did not give knowledge, you knowledge for making you suffer torment. Go, I have forgiven you. Those people that acquired the knowledge of the deen, those people that passed on the knowledge of the deen, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, I have forgiven you. Now, acquiring the knowledge of the deen, yes, I'm going to say it's easier. I'm not going to say it's easy. It's a lot easier than it used to be. Even now, I remember when we opened up our first Jamaatul Madina in the UK, in Bradford in the UK. Alhamdulillah, we have more than 20 jamias in the UK. Right? We opened up our first jamia in the UK, and in that jamia, we invited all of the Sunni scholars to come. And there was one scholar, and he said that, you know, to the students, he said, do you know me? And they said, yes, he said. But do you know that I ran away from jamia 3 times? I said, no. He said that this course is hard. Shaitan will play on you, will dry you, but never give up. You know, so acquiring the knowledge of the deen is easier. And, you know, I've only got 1 minute now. And I just want you to mention one or two things. Number one, that Dawah Islam is here to provide us with that knowledge of the deen, to give us that pride inside our hearts of our pious predecessors, to give us that knowledge to protect our iman. And Dawah Islam is here to do this. And Dawah Islam is in front of you. You know, here in the UK, we have more than 7,000 children in our madrasas. We have approximately 1,000 children in our jamias. We have more than 100 buildings in the UK, more than 100 madrasas in the UK. Madani Channel is here in front of you. Alhamdulillah, this all runs on your donations. And on the 3rd of November, we're having our annual telethon. Just one day a year, just one day a year, we raise funds to be able to run the services that we provide. I request all of you to participate in that, donate in the way of Allah, spend in the way of Allah, that money that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. As every year, as the last 4 or 5 years, the unit cost has been £75. Inflation has increased, but our unit cost has remained the same. I request all of our viewers to please donate in this noble cause. And if you don't see the rewards in this dunya, then inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, you'll definitely see the rewards in the hereafter. Viewers of the channel, you've been watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. And I hope and pray that we can learn from the life of our pious predecessors. Learn something from yesterday so that we can make a change today, so that we can have a better tomorrow. You've been watching yesterday, today and tomorrow. Until the next time, keep watching Madri channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah, the universe is the body and its soul.